And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. If you would be so generous, give this show a rating, a five-star rating or review wherever you listen. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you by The Law Group. Visit them online at Law Group NC or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, as we sit here on this Monday, we are now 41 days into the federal government shutdown, and it would appear that barring some extreme circumstances unfolding in Congress today, that the federal government shutdown will be over, potentially today, maybe early tomorrow. There are some procedural votes that have to take place in the House. There's another vote that has to take place in the Senate. So by later this afternoon, we could be ending the federal government shutdown before it hits day 42. And what is the moral of the story? The Democrats caved. They got nothing. They were never fighting for anything of substance that they knew they were going to get. They kept the federal government closed for the last 41 freaking days for no reason whatsoever. None. 8 Senate Democrats given the blessing by Chuck Schumer, who, of course, is the minority leader in the United States Senate. He gave 8 Democrats his blessing last night to vote in favor of a new continuing resolution that will keep the federal government funded through January 30th of next year. So if there are not those, 16 appropriation bills that are passed, that we will be in the exact same boat come January of next year. Of course, that'll be just a little over a month ahead of the primary for the midterm elections that'll be taking place in November of 2026. There are a couple of things that are funded all the way through the end of October, which is the end of the fiscal year at the federal level. Things like the United States Department of Agriculture, which funds SNAP, some ongoing military pay and things of that nature. But this is still the same clean continuing resolution that Senate Democrats have had the opportunity to vote for the last 41 days, and they chose not to. So this is the list of the individuals that voted in favor of this. The final vote, 60-40 in the United States Senate around 10:30 last night. And there's a major name on this list, Senator Dick Durbin. He is the Democrat from Illinois. He is the number two man for Democrats in the Senate. I mean, he's not just some random senator. And, you know, there's some other important names on this list. But Dick Durbin is a very powerful, very influential guy. And it would be one thing if you just had a bunch of, you know, random Democrats voting in favor of this. But when you've got your number two man voting in favor, to me, that is a strong indication of what this whole thing has really been about the whole time. It's never been about ACA or Obamacare subsidies. It's never been about USAID. It's never been about, you know, funding for PBS and NPR. This has been a complete and total political game that has been put on by the Democrats. So Dick Durbin voted in favor of it. A former VP nominee, Tim Kaine, Catherine Cortez Masto from Nevada, Jackie Rosen from Nevada, John Fetterman, no surprise there, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, Angus King from Maine, who is an independent but caucuses with the Democrats, he's a Democrat, voted in favor, Gene Shaheen from New Hampshire, and Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire as well. Those are the 8 that went across the aisle and voted in favor of the new CR that was put forth yesterday by the Senate, by the leader of the Senate in John Thune. Now, I'll note that last night's vote was what is known as a test vote. It's kind of a procedural vote. It was not on the actual legislation itself. That will be coming up later today. But you put these test votes out there to see whether you've got the majority or not, whether you've got the votes or not, and then you move forward with the final and the actual vote, which is what we will see likely coming up later today. When that vote passes, which it presumably all eight of these individuals will vote in favor of that, it will pass the Senate. Because it is a different version of what the House originally passed back in, early September, it will have to go to the House for concurrence, will presumably pass there, and then make its way to President Donald Trump's desk for a signature. So sometime, again, either today, maybe tomorrow, we will see the 40-plus day government shutdown, the largest in U.S. history, come to a close, come to an end. And Democrats got nothing, and Democrats are pissed this morning at their colleagues. I've got some tweets. I've got some interviews coming up from some Democrats in the House. They are not happy with what unfolded in the United States Senate last night. They are not happy with what is likely to unfold over the next day or so. Because if you'll remember, these were the Democrats' initial demands. An extension of some of those enhanced Obamacare or ACA subsidies. And two, additional funding for healthcare for illegal migrants. Those were the two main issues. Now, you can throw in some of the USAID and Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding. Those things were in there. Those were high priority issues, sure, but I don't think they were the top ticket winners. The two top issues were additional Obamacare subsidies, because Obamacare has been an unmitigated, unbelievable disaster since it was originally passed. It proves to be a disaster right now. And then free healthcare, taxpayer subsidized healthcare for individuals who are illegally in the United States of America. Those were the two big wish list items that Democrats fought tooth and nail for. That Democrats, for the last 40 days, now going on 41 full days, the Democrats have kept the federal government closed for. And so where does the Democrats and where do the Democrats go from here? They didn't get the ACA extensions. They didn't get their taxpayer subsidized health care for illegals. They didn't get any funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which funds NPR and PBS. They didn't get any of the USAID money back. They got nothing. And so you begin to ask yourself, what was the point of this whole thing? Obviously, Democrats wanted to get some of these issues dealt with and solved and wanted to get some political wins. Now, if you understand the situation that's unfolding in Washington, D.C., which Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries and other prominent Democrats, I would argue almost every Democrat does, you knew from day one, you knew from the start that that was never going to happen. Democrats don't have the votes, which is, of course, one of the most important issues. They don't have the votes. They don't have the political willpower. They don't have the political capital to get this stuff done. They just don't. Last November's election was a landslide win for Republicans, giving them a strong majority in the United States Senate, gaining keeping and still having a majority in the United States House, and of course, you've got Donald Trump in the Oval Office. There was never a chance that Donald Trump, John Thune, or Mike Johnson, the three main Republicans in the conversation here, there was never a chance that Democrats were going to get what they want. And this goes all the way back to July, throughout the month of June and July of this year, when the One Big Beautiful Bill, which was controversial, we talked about it here, it originally did not have all the support, it ended up coming through, but the One Big Beautiful Bill was the kind of hallmark cornerstone legislation of this administration. Democrats fought tooth and nail against it, did everything they can to make everything that they could to make sure it didn't pass. But again, they don't have the votes. They don't have the political capital. They couldn't stop it. So that went through Congress in June. It was signed into law by President Donald Trump on July 4th, Independence Day, and it has been in law ever since. that made massive cuts to USAID. It pulled funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, made some changes to healthcare as it relates to healthcare for illegal migrants. Democrats have been fuming mad since that period of time. And I get it. I mean, those are some of the things that they care a lot about. I mean, USAID, if you really want to talk about something that is, you know, major in terms of its substance, USAID was funding all, seemingly all, of the Democrats' pet projects across the country, giving hundreds of millions of dollars to left-wing nonprofits and left-wing groups to fund protests and events and all of this. I mean, it's a major, major blow to the so-called grassroots, if you want to call it that, of the Democrat Party. That's not really grassroots. I mean, when you're receiving tens of millions of dollars essentially from the federal government through the money being washed through USAID, kind of hard to call it an organic movement, kind of hard to call it grassroots, but it was a major funding source for the left. And Democrat or Republicans in Congress, Donald Trump, the Republican in the White House, not only turned off the spigot, removed it from the House. There's no more spigot. There's no other place for the water to come out. The money is gone. And so that has been a major, major blow to them politically. It cuts off a lot of the funding for a lot of their operations that they run behind the scenes. And they have been pissed off since then. You can imagine that individuals that have been running these grifts, running these scams, all under the auspices of USAID, which, you know, aid development, all of these fun words that Democrats use, these people have been livid since. Because now there's no more multi-six-figure salary paychecks. There's no more $1,000 dinners. I mean, all of that stuff is either been cut off or is in the process of being cut off when those current grants run out. And so now there's no more free money. And if we know anything about the Democrats, if we know anything about these left-wing groups, they love free money. Now, there's nothing wrong with fundraising and generating funds and doing that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about fundraising. We're not talking about getting people behind you to write checks. We're talking about free money from the federal government being washed through a variety of nonprofits and other groups through USAID. A complete and total sham being perpetrated on the American people. Republicans cut all of that garbage out in July. Democrats have not been able to recover. And so since that period of time, they have been doing everything in their power to try and claw that back. They have been doing everything in their power to try and regain some of the monies and some of the influence and power that they had. But as I stated, they don't have the votes. And so the question remains, and the question I asked 5 minutes ago, what was the plan? I mean, Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries knew that Thune, Johnson, and Trump were not going to give them these Obamacare subsidies, at least at this point. They knew that they were not going to get billions, if not trillions of dollars for illegal health care through those three individuals. And so what was the point? It was all political. It's been political the entire time. And last night, with those eight Democrat senators voting in favor of this new CR, they have proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that that's exactly what this has been since day one. Because nothing has changed. Dick Durbin got nothing. Tim Kaine got nothing. John Fetterman got nothing. Maggie Hassan got nothing. Literally zero in this. And so, what changed? Now, the public pressure, did that play an impact? Yeah, I'd say probably. I mean, I saw a post on X yesterday. Something like 10,000 flights delayed and or canceled at a variety of pretty much every single U.S. airport yesterday, even the not major hubs because many of them fly through. So that's becoming a major problem. Federal employees have now gone 6 weeks in some cases without a paycheck. That's a problem. We're a couple weeks away from Thanksgiving. This point in time, less than eight weeks away from Christmas. So there's definitely some public growing pressure there. But you've heard Democrats, and I've played some of those clips for you over the last 40 some odd days. They knew that this would be painful. They knew that there would be, you know, crossfire on this. They didn't care. It's the same Democrat Party that is always consistently talking about how they're the ones fighting for the American people. It's the Republicans that hate America, right? It's the Democrats that are always fighting for the little man, as you're always told. Right? Republicans are for the 1%, the trillionaires and billionaires. That's all Republicans stand for. Meanwhile, it's the Democrats that fight for the middle class. Explain to me how shutting down the federal government for now 41 days has helped the middle class. People getting kicked off their flights, federal employees that are part of the middle class, not getting a paycheck, having to leverage large amounts of credit card debt to pay their bills. I mean, explain to me how you're fighting for the little guy with this. Explain to me how you are fighting for the everyday American with this shutdown. We'll talk about and we'll get into some of the subsidy stuff because it's an interesting discussion. But Democrats are in the exact same spot they were 41 days ago. Literally nothing has changed. And so I've got this article over at the Daily Signal, which I think is part of the, the Heritage Foundation. I think it's part of some think tank group. But this is the headline, and this is the article over at the Daily Signal, which I just want to go through a little bit of. So it reads, a bipartisan group of senators voted 60-40 to approve a key procedural measure that puts legislation reopening the government on track to pass the Senate. It then lists off the eight Democrat senators that we just went through. Sunday's late night vote may begin the process to reopen the government, but it will likely take at least a day. Before the government can reopen, the Senate must vote to approve the measure with a simple majority, all but assured after obtaining the 60 votes needed on the procedural test. At that point, the House must then return to Washington to pass the legislation. Majority Leader John Thune said, quote, I am optimistic that after almost 6 weeks of this shutdown, we will finally be able to end it. So there's what Thune is saying about it. Angus King, again, an independent, so-called independent, but votes with the Democrats all the time, says, quote, part of this deal is a vote on ACA subsidies, talking about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And so this is what these eight Democrats, I think this is what they believe that they've got in this legislation. They have got a handshake deal that there will be a vote or votes or discussion on some of these ACA subsidies. But it was kind of interesting because as I was reading this last night, I was thinking to myself, didn't Trump offer Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer the exact same thing well over 6 weeks ago? So I went digging and I found this article from CNN. This was published September the 29th. So like a day and a half before the government shutdown. And the headline there reads, top Democrats optimistic Trump could negotiate on healthcare, but not in time to avert a shutdown. So again, this is from September the 20th, but I just want to read through a little bit of it. Top Democrats emerged from a White House meeting believing that President Donald Trump may eventually cut a deal on their biggest demand, even if it first requires shutting down the government to get it. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Monday, and this is Monday back in late September, Trump expressed openness to extending key enhanced Obamacare subsidies that are set to expire at the end of the year, characterizing the president as keenly interested in averting sudden price hikes for roughly 20 million enrollees. Schumer said, quote, we laid out to the president some of the consequences of what's happening in healthcare. Following the Oval Office sit-down, adding later that it, quote, seemed from his body language and some of the things he said that he was not aware of the ramifications. So I bring this up because Trump, from very early on in this shutdown, even before the shutdown, signaled to Democrats that he was willing to have a discussion on some of these subsidies. Now, you can be willing to have a discussion, which is what Trump told Schumer and Jeffries earlier this year. I'm willing to have a discussion. But see, that's not good enough for Democrats. They believe somehow that they are the party in charge. They believe that somehow they are the group that gets to call the shots. They are the big dog in the room. And they're not. I mean, they have power over nothing. They don't have the Oval Office. They don't have the House. They don't have the Senate. And so the fact that early on in this, even before the shutdown, Trump signaled to Schumer and Jeffries, I'm willing to have these discussions. And it makes sense that he is. We'll get into the healthcare stuff. But it makes sense. Trump is not an idiot. Trump understands that rising healthcare costs for 20 million people is not going to be good for him. Donald Trump understands that it is not going to help his economy if healthcare skyrockets for 20 million people. I mean, he's not a moron. He's not an idiot. He understands the impact that that will have on people. And so it's fascinating to me that you've got Democrats now that are saying, oh, well, Republicans are willing to discuss healthcare subsidies. Republicans have been willing to discuss healthcare subsidies since before you clowns shut the federal government down. I mean, this idea, this is not a policy shift at all. This is not a change in the rhetoric at all. And we even heard from Trump during the shutdown, because, of course, he was being pressed by reporters, oh, what about these subsidies? He said, sure, I'm willing to discuss it, but Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries have to reopen the federal government first. So when I make the point this morning that Democrats got nothing and literally nothing has changed, I'm laying out those facts for that reason. It's not like for the last 41 days, Republicans have sat with their arms crossed and said, no, we're not discussing subsidies. We're not discussing ACA. We're not discussing Obamacare. You had the guy in Donald Trump saying, I'm willing to discuss this early on, even before the shutdown. And so all of that leads up to why Democrats are incredibly pissed off this morning. Harry Sisson, who is some little soy boy leftist, he posted on X last night saying, quote, I am sick of weak Democrats. We need fighters who will stand up to Trump and MAGA. We need a Big Ten of fighters, not folders. Following that up by saying, as I've made clear, I'm a liberal. Someone like Zohran Mamdani is farther left than I am, but I'd rather vote for him than a weak liberal who does not stand for anything. I will support fighters, not folders. Now, Harry Sisson is a very left-wing guy. He says, oh, Zohran's further than me. I don't believe that's the case. But this is a guy who is very rabid in his support for Democrats. He is not happy with what he saw last night. And he's not the only one. Getting some commentary in from some other members of Congress. Ro Khanna, who is the Republican or is the Democrat from California, called for Senate Democrats to replace Schumer. This is what he said on his X feed last night, shortly after 9 p.m. Senator Schumer is no longer effective and should be replaced. If you can't lead the fight to stop healthcare premiums from skyrocketing for Americans, what will you fight for? This post has about 3.5 million views at this point as we're live on a Monday morning. So that's not good. That's not painting a very rosy picture. How about old Pocahontas, Senator Elizabeth Warren? I will not support a deal that does nothing to make healthcare more affordable. We are in a healthcare emergency, which is interesting. A simple one-year extension of these tax credits would cost less than Donald Trump's $40 billion bailout for Argentina. A vote for this bill is a mistake. So, this is a member of the Senate. I would say one of the more, I don't know that I'd use the word progressive to describe Elizabeth Warren. There's some pretty crazy senators, but a very vocal senator. Somebody that is in front of the camera, somebody that is speaking to the media. I mean, she's not the face of the Democrat Party by any extent, but she's out there. She's not just some random Democrat senator that's pissed off that Trump got what he wanted. So she's posting this. I've mentioned now for quite some time that I believe that the Democrat Party is in a civil war. And I think some of these comments, whether you're looking on the outside with somebody like Harry Soy Boy Sisson, or you're looking at a very progressive activist in Ro Khanna in the House, or Pocahontas in Elizabeth Warren, these individuals torching their own party is not a good sign going forward for the Democrats. It is not something that is beneficial to them moving forward. And to really put the icing on the cake in all of this, as I mentioned earlier, Chuck Schumer gave his blessing to Senate Democrats, the eight that did, to vote in favor of this legislation, yet goes on the floor of the Senate and tries to convince his constituents, tries to convince other Democrats that he's keeping up the fight. Take a listen to this. This is Schumer yesterday.
But let me be clear. However this vote turns out, this fight will and must continue. Democrats must fight because of millions of families will lose health care coverage. We must fight because children who are dying of cancer will not get health care coverage. We must fight because a senior citizen cannot afford to pay $25,000 a year just for health insurance. We must fight to keep millions from financial ruin. And make no mistake about it, the American people know who is inflicting this health care trauma on them, Donald Trump and the Republicans.
Even Schumer doesn't believe what's coming out of his mouth right there. Again, here is the list of the eight individuals that voted to reopen, or at least went through the procedural vote to reopen the federal government. Dick Durbin is the number two man in the Senate for Democrats. He is right behind Chuck Schumer. You don't think, I mean, I'm just going to ask this from a purely objective standpoint. I'm not trying to be a smartass or anything. You don't think Dick Durbin got the blessing from Chuck Schumer to vote in favor of this last night? Democrats have been lockstep for 41 days on this. Lockstep. Couple of deflectors on the first votes, but the vote has been 55-45 for the last 40 days. You don't think that some of these, that every single Democrat on this list, maybe outside of John Fetterman, maybe one other, but you don't think they got permission from Schumer to vote yay on this last night? I mean, I guess Chuck Schumer and the Democrats think that everybody is just stupid. I guess they just assume that nobody knows what's going on and we're just all fools in their game. There is not a universe that exists where Dick Durbin, the minority whip for the Democrats, does not get Chuck Schumer's approval to vote in favor of this legislation. There's literally not a universe where that exists. Yet, you've got Schumer up on the floor of the Senate last night, grandstanding for the American people. Kids with cancer are losing their coverage. Seniors are going to have to spend $25,000 a year on health insurance. Chuck, you lost the game. You never had a shot to win. This was never about healthcare. This was never about USAID. This was never about subsidies. This was never about CPB. None of it. This was a political game to try and get the Republicans to blink. And one that has not panned out very well for Chuck Schumer at all. One that has not panned out well, I don't think, for the Democrats at all. Because the activist wing of the Democrat Party, the Harry Sissons of the world, who I think is a good barometer for, you know, the activist wing, the individuals that are going out and volunteering with the Democrat Party, those that are going to their No King's Day protests. This is the attitude this morning. I'm so sick of weak Democrats. I think this was a huge swing and a miss for Chuck Schumer and the left. I've got a clip coming up of Democrat Representative Brandon Boyle, who was on MSNBC yesterday. He said he was perplexed that Democrats in the Senate were going to vote to reopen this. I've got some commentary from President Donald Trump as he flew back to the White House last night. He was asked about moving forward, about some of these subsidies, about some of the health care for illegal immigrants, these big wish list items for the left. We'll get into those comments coming up. Plus, the real big question at hand, ACA, Obamacare subsidies. That's really the topic of discussion. We'll get into all those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I do want to thank the wonderful team and the amazing folks, Melissa Gott and her crew, over at The Law Group for their continued support of The Nick Craig Show. And I want to let you know that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in The Law Group. For now, more than 22 years, yes, ladies and gentlemen, 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. I went through the process of purchasing my home back a couple of years ago, and when I was navigating the real estate transaction, the law group had my back. They'll have yours, too. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, they're not some big national law firm. They're located right here in downtown Wilmington. They're your neighbors. They live in our community, and they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call for any legal challenges across Eastern North Carolina, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. All right, quick break, and we are back as we continue our coverage of what appears to be a light at the end of the tunnel, as we are now in the 41st day of the federal government shutdown. We'll continue the conversation after this as the Nick Craig Show rolls on live on a Monday morning, streaming on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us here as we continue our coverage of what appears to be the end of the federal government shutdown. We are in the 41st day, a procedural vote taking place in the United States Senate last night. 60 votes in favor, that is the filibuster threshold, was met. And with that, that is teeing up a vote that is likely to come potentially within hours today in the Senate. That presumably will pass based on the vote last night. Over to the House, we'll see what happens there, and then on to President Donald Trump's desk, as Democrats this morning are pissed. And I know it's hard for many of us, myself included, to put your shoes on as a Democrat, which, you know, that would be backwards or inside out or something like that. But just think about being kind of an activist type Democrat this morning. You've had the federal government shut down for 41 days. You fought tooth and nail to get your wish list items, ACA subsidies, renewed for at least another year, if not longer. Healthcare for illegals, USAID funding, Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding. 41 days. And you wake up this morning and you've got none of that. None of it. Zero. The only thing is a handshake deal that there will be a vote on subsidies, which Republicans will not vote in favor for. And Donald Trump told Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries back in September that he was willing to discuss. And I'm sure he will be, because we'll get into the details on that. So they're pissed off this morning, and rightfully so, because you shut down the government for 41 days. and you received nothing as a result. So Representative Brandon Boyle, who is a member of the House, was on MSNBC last night when some of these votes were going on. And at that point, it was already obvious that eight Democrats had split from the from Schumer and the rest of the Democrats in the Senate to vote in favor of this. And he said that he's perplexed. That's his direct quote as to why the Senate Democrats voted the way that they did. Take a listen.
Pennsylvania. Congressman Boyle, thanks so much. I saw your statement on this deal, such as it is. I think you said you were a hell no on the deal. You know, no way to sugarcoat it, I guess. Can you explain how you interpret why this deal came together now, a few days after this blowout election where Democrats seem to be taking a victory lap, well, literally taking a victory lap, or at least had a victory? Why now would Democrats in the Senate decide to lay down their arms, you know, potentially end this shutdown when the terms that are being offered by Republicans don't seem to have changed?
That's a great summation there from MSNBC. 41 days, you got jack diddly squat, and eight of your colleagues voted with the Republicans to reopen the government last night. Great phrasing. And again, setting the stage here for more infighting and more of what I have continued to describe as the ongoing civil war within the Democrat Party. It is happening right now. It has been going on for a while now, and it is reaching boiling point. Democrats are not happy about what happened last night. So let's hear the response from Brandon Boyle.
I can't explain it because, to be frank, to me, it makes absolutely no sense. I am completely perplexed by today's developments, or really the developments of the last few hours. On Tuesday, we essentially had the proof that the American people overwhelmingly were on the Democrats' side of this argument. Polls have been showing for weeks, over a month, that a pretty large number of Americans were with us. But people always question about the validity of polls. Where here we had on Tuesday the ultimate poll, and Democrats won everywhere. I mean, I'll take Pennsylvania, for example. Every competitive race or race that thought was going to be competitive, we won by double digits. We won in Clearfield County, a place that had not elected a Democrat in over a decade and that Donald Trump had carried by more than 50 points. That's how sweeping the victory was on Tuesday. So it's pretty clear that, you know, we went to the polls. The American people understood that Republicans were making their costs go up, that Democrats were fighting to bring costs down and fight to save the health care of the American people. And now all of a sudden, after this big victory, it's the Democratic side, or at least enough Democrats in the Senate, that are essentially caving. Again, it just makes no sense to me.
Congressman, there was, you know, a statement. We heard the statement, I should say, by Senator Thune.
So there you have it. Perplexing. I don't understand why they would be voting for this. This is the way that the progressive wing, and I will note again, rightfully so, should feel. Because the whole reason you shut down the government was to get these concessions. The whole reason that Democrats shut down the government were to get some of these political victories. And they will likely walk away today or early tomorrow, depending on how the timeline shakes out, with zero, being in the exact same place that they were in September. So the only thing that happened over that 41-day period of time is people went without paychecks. Some people's SNAP benefits got cut off last weekend, and there was a mess at American airports over the last couple of days. That is the end result of what you have witnessed over the last 41 days. Arguably nothing. Not even arguably, literally nothing in terms of this shutdown. Democrats, as I suspect it would be the case, got nothing. And it makes sense that they didn't. And that's why I really, it's not often that I find myself not understanding what's going on politically. I believe I have a pretty good read as to what's going on and why things are happening. I still, to this point, cannot wrap my head around what the plan was from Democrats back in late September as we transitioned into the month of October and the government shutdown. What was the plan? I mean, there is, you cannot tell me that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries thought that Donald Trump would cave and fold on these issues. Schumer and Jeffries are not stupid people. They're not random political observers. These guys are as in tune and in touch with the political winds as anybody. They knew that this was a non-starter for Trump, for Thune, and for Mike Johnson. They knew that. It's not a secret. It's not a surprise. Yet they walked all the way down this road 41 days later and received nothing. And I guess for somebody like Chuck Schumer, you just heard his comments. I played him a little bit earlier. He can go back to his constituents. He can go back to the progressive wing of the party and say, damn it, I said no. I stood up on the floor of the Senate. I did not vote in favor of reopening the government. But they know that it's not true. I mean, yes, they can. He can point to his physical vote on this and say, oh, I didn't vote in favor of it. But they know that Schumer gave the blessing. They know that Senate Democrats, the eight that voted in favor of it, they know that they were given the opportunity to do this. This group of eight, again, including the minority whip and Senator Dick Durbin, giving a big middle finger to the progressive party, the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, voting in favor of this. And so this is going to be a continued tough issue for Democrats to navigate. This is going to be a tough issue for somebody like Chuck Schumer, and I would even argue Hakeem Jeffries, even though this whole battle's been going on in the Senate. This is going to be a very tough issue for them to navigate. There's some interesting comments coming in on our Rumble live chat earlier this morning talking about some of these Democrats saying all of the Dems over 65, talking about their age, are out. They'll get rooted out completely by next year, and a young moron will replace. Right? This progressive wing of the Democrat Party is rampant in what they do. And when you look at this post from Harry Sisson, I'm sick. I am so sick of weak Democrats. We need fighters who will stand up to Trump and MAGA. We need a Big Ten of fighters, not folders. This is not a good sign for Chuck Schumer and for the Democrats in any way, shape, or form. I don't know how you can, you know, twist this into something that is going to be a win for them. I just don't see it at all. So President Donald Trump was making his way back to the White House last night. He spent part of his Sunday afternoon at the Washington Commanders game, used to be the Redskins game, for Military Service Appreciation Weekend. Of course, Veterans Day is tomorrow. And as he made his way back to the White House, he was asked by reporters about the shutdown, about these votes coming in, and about some of the issues that are needed, going to need to be continued to be debated, like health care and some of these other issues. Here was the president last night.
We'll never agree to give any substantial money or any money to really prisoners, illegals that come into our country. And I think the Democrats understand that. And it looks like we're getting close to the shutdown ending. You'll know very soon. Thank you very much.
And not a lot there from the president, but saying, yeah, we're not going to do this. We're not going to give this money away. We're not giving people who are illegally in the United States free taxpayer subsidized health care. And so it brings me all the way back to what was the plan here? I mean, if you're going to shut down the federal government, you would assume that you've got an off-ramp. You would assume that you would have some plausible way to get what you want and bring this thing to a close. And while I made the comment earlier that I don't believe that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are idiots, I don't think they're morons, I think they understand what's going on, maybe I'm wrong about this case. Because there is nothing that I can point to, nothing that has been said over the last 6 weeks that would give me any sort of indication that these guys knew what they were doing, that these guys had a plan as to what the end solution was here, what the end game was, what the winning issue was going to be on all of this. And it's just, it's very, very fascinating to watch. This is Adam Schiff. He was walking out of the Capitol last night, rainy Washington, D.C., tears falling down his face as he took to X to post this and get his thoughts out there. Take a listen.
So I just voted no on the Republican funding bill. I'm outside the Capitol. It's dark and raining, and that seems all too appropriate for this moment because that funding bill has nothing in it to help people afford their health insurance. That bill has nothing in it that's going to bring costs down. That bill has nothing in it that's going to make sure that people with pre-existing conditions can afford their health insurance. When this began, when this debate began, I said, I'm not supporting a bill, a government funding bill that doesn't have money for health care in it. This one doesn't. So I'm a strong no on this bill. It will now, later this week, I suppose, go to the House. I don't know what happens to it there. But we owe our constituents better than this. We owe a resolution that makes it possible for them to afford their health care. The system's already badly broken enough. This just prevented it from getting worse. Frankly, we need a system where people can join Medicare and get good quality care, a Medicare for All plan, but we certainly shouldn't be making it any worse. This is a Republican health care crisis. They have made it worse with that big ugly bill that took just billions and billions of dollars out of healthcare to give tax cuts for wealthy people and corporations. And sadly, this bill tonight does nothing to address that.
Well, thanks, Adam. Always a great insight from you. So let's get to the root of the issue here. Obamacare. We were told by Democrats, what was that, back in 2014? It's been a decade now. We were told by Democrats that Obamacare was the solution to all healthcare woes in the United States. We were told that as long as we voted for Obamacare, that the problems would be solved, healthcare prices would plummet, coverage and availability would open up, everybody would have access to affordable healthcare. And as suspected, as you know, Republicans warned back when this legislation was passed and went into effect, it would be a complete and utter freaking disaster. And here we are, November 2025, and lo and behold, what's happening? Obamacare, ACA is not working. And it's so funny to hear Democrats talk about affordable healthcare. Their solution, this really highlights the quintessential difference between the left and the right. Democrats' solutions to affordable healthcare is not insurance companies, is not doctors, it's not going to the root cause of the problem. Their solution to rising healthcare costs are more subsidies from U.S. taxpayers. They don't want to touch the root issue at all. They don't want to go after the insurance companies. They don't want to go after the medical lobby. They don't want to go after the medical systems that charge exorbitant rates and fees to use healthcare. They just want to subsidize it so it's cheaper for the American populace. They just want to subsidize it so that people can so-called afford, throw that in air quotes, their healthcare. I mean, think about how ass backwards that is. We're not going to solve the problem. We're not going to work and find some sort of way to deal with rising costs. We'll just subsidize it. We'll make sure that the healthcare lobby and the big insurance companies, they still make all their money. We'll make sure that the big hospital and healthcare systems across the country, they can continue to make all their money, and we'll just subsidize it. I mean, it is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. President Donald Trump took to Truth Social last night saying Obamacare sucks. The worst healthcare for the highest price. As somebody that has the pleasure of being on the healthcare open market, the healthcare exchange, I can agree with the president's comments there. It does suck. It's outrageously expensive. My healthcare is going to double going into next year. And the deductible is outrageous. The coverage blows. But hey, that's ACA, right? That's Obamacare. That's keep your doctor. That's more affordable health care. That's what Democrats told us a decade ago at this point. Lo and behold, when the federal... Just think about how ridiculous this is. Obamacare only works if the federal government subsidizes taxpayers' health care costs. That is the only way that this system works, because that's what's changing at the end of this year. The only thing that's changing with Obamacare, the ACA, is that federal government subsidies are going away. The program is not going away. Obamacare is not dissolving as a system, which it needs to. Just federal subsidies are going away. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about any dramatic shift anywhere else. We're simply talking about subsidies. And that in itself is the only thing that Democrats are fighting for. That in itself is the only thing that Democrats care about. Not about solving the problems. Not about cracking down on the healthcare industry. Not about cracking down on the hospitals and the big providers and everybody else. No. Just more free money. Obamacare is a freaking disaster. Healthcare costs are a real and serious problem. And Democrat solutions, surprise, surprise, I know you'll find yourself just as shocked as I am this morning. Their solution is subsidies. Now, let me be clear with this, and we'll continue this conversation in the coming weeks. Donald Trump and the Republicans are going to have to deal with this. As much as I believe that these subsidies are terrible, and I'm not just saying this because I will be able to take advantage of them, which I will, and hopefully not have my health care costs double per month at a point where I'm probably not even going to bother covering or carrying health insurance into next year because it's so unaffordable. This is a real issue that Trump and the Republicans have to deal with. Now, it's not their problem. This is, once again, a problem created by the Democrats. But from a purely political standpoint, and again, let me make sure I'm clear with this. From a purely political standpoint, Donald Trump and the Republicans have to do something. Because the possibility and what is going to happen as open enrollment closes, I think it's what, December 15th, and as people start getting their bills, their premium bills, heading into the 2026, it is going to be a really, really bad problem for Trump and the Republicans to deal with. They didn't choose to do this. This is all the Democrats. But unfortunately, you've got to play the game with the cards that you've been dealt. And Donald Trump and the Republicans have been dealt a terribly broken and bruised healthcare system that is completely out of control. And, you know, this problem is going to come to a head in a midterm election year. Now, you can point at the Democrats and say, they created Obamacare, this is their fault. But folks, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm going to be as blunt as I possibly can with this. That shit doesn't matter. The only thing that is going to matter next year is families are going to see their insurance double or triple, and they will see who is in the Oval Office, who is in the House, who is in the Senate. It is Trump, Republicans, and Republicans. And that is where the blame will fall. Now, you and I know that that's not the case. You and I know that this mess was created by the Democrats. But there is a practical issue that exists here. These costs are going to skyrocket under Donald Trump and the Republicans. Is the solution extending the ACA subsidies? No, it's not. But I would argue, in the short term, until there is a solution to the unbelievably broken ACA system that exists, the Obamacare system that exists, Republicans should consider it. Is it a good idea? No, it's actually a terrible idea. But unless you want to piss off tens of millions of Americans and guarantee that they won't vote for you heading into the next election cycle, I don't know that they have a choice. And some of you are probably saying, Nick, you can't do that. You can't just do this for votes. Okay, that's fine. Then enjoy the two final years of the Trump administration getting nothing done, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Democrats will flip the House and it's over. Trump can, yeah, he can be in the Oval Office. He'll have the bully pulpit. They ain't getting jack squat done. Nothing will happen. And so I know it's not a good solution. I know it's not a great situation, but I don't see an alternative. I mean, you're not going to scrap the Obamacare system in the next 3 months or next 6 months and have a new system in place. And so outside of everybody's healthcare premiums doubling as we head into next year, which I mean, I looked at mine and it will by more than double. What are you going to do? What is the solution here? What is the plan here? I genuinely don't know. I do feel confident that within the administration, you've got a lot of smart people in there, folks. You've got a lot of really smart people, both in and out of the medical field. They understand that this system is a complete and utter freaking train wreck. John puts a great comment in our Rumble chat this morning. Thanks, John McCain, for voting to create this. Of course, typical John McCain, right? Campaigned on, or campaigned against Obama and Obamacare, then had the opportunity to scrap it. Oh, can't afford to do that. Thanks. Great work by Republicans at that point. Right, that's the what would be described as the establishment GOP that so many people hate. And I use that word intentionally this morning, hate. So this is going to be an interesting one to watch. And again, I'll go back to this CNN article from September 29th. I already read through a little bit of it, but I'm going to start again. Top Democrats optimistic Trump could negotiate on healthcare, but not in time to avert a shutdown. Top Democrats emerged from a White House meeting believing that President Donald Trump may eventually cut a deal on their biggest demand, even if it requires shutting down the government to do it. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said that Trump expressed openness to extending key enhanced Obamacare subsidies that are set to expire at the end of the year. I 100% believe that statement. And now let's be clear. Donald Trump is going to get a whole bunch of flack from the right if he moves forward with this. But the people that will criticize him for it, if that's what happens, and it's not guaranteed that it will. But the people that will blame him and say, oh, this is proof, this is evidence that Donald Trump is just as bad as everybody else, are not individuals that have ever worked in a political system. I don't make guarantees in politics, but I will make this guarantee. I will make this guarantee. If the subsidies are not extended and between 10 and 20 million people see their premiums double, if not triple, starting in January of next year, 2026, I can guarantee you Republicans get their asses handed to them in the midterm elections. I can guarantee it. I don't guarantee in politics. I can guarantee you that. There's a lot of issues that determine an election. People not being able to afford their health care, people having to cut out major things from their budget because their insurance has gone up by potentially $1,000+ a month. That will drive voters out to the polls, and that will drive voters against the Republican Party. Is this a good solution? No. But it might be the only solution for any sort of self-preservation heading into 2026. You win in 2026, you begin the process, you've got 2 years to dismantle Obamacare, you've got 2 years to come up with a better solution. But I can almost promise you that this will be, or very well could be, the defining issue in 2026. Republicans, again, they can point fingers at Democrats all they want. People look at who's in charge. They look at the party that's in control. That's where the blame lays. And it's unfortunate, but that's the political system. Don't shoot the messenger on this. Don't get pissed off at me. I'm explaining to you the political process that plays out. Whether it's right or wrong is not part of my equation. Self-preservation and winning. And you might say, well, Nick, it's not worth winning just to do this. Okay, that's fine. That's a fair statement. I don't fault you for saying that. I don't fault you for having that opinion. But if you don't win, you can't govern and you can't lead. So if you're okay with Donald Trump being a lame duck president for the remaining 2 years of his term leading into 2028, then that's fine. But you are going to see a lot of pain and a lot of struggle amongst millions of Americans. You will see Democrats gain control back of the United States House, and you will see nothing be accomplished for the final 2 years. I don't want that. And if that involves a one-year extension of some of these key subsidies to keep people afloat financially for another year, then I, at this point in time, and this my stance could change on this a little bit as we learn details, but my stance and my thought right now would be you probably got to give up the ghost on this. Because it's not something that you're going to be able to message around. And at the end of the day, no political rallies, no interviews on Fox News, no interviews on CNN are going to change the fact that people will literally no longer be able to afford their insurance. It's already incredibly unaffordable. Believe me, I'm there. I'm in the thick of it. It's going to get, in some cases, double or triple times as bad. Not a good situation at all. Once again, created by the Democrats. If Obamacare worked as well as they claimed, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. If the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, as it was so aptly named, actually worked, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. But lo and behold, it didn't work. And so here we are discussing not the healthcare system, not fixing the healthcare system, but giving people subsidies so that they can afford their insurance each and every month. We will continue to watch, and I'll continue to watch the progress on this legislation throughout the day today. There will be a final vote in the Senate, again, potentially today. Not clear whether it will move immediately over to the House or not. Then President Donald Trump's desk for a signature, and then we'll be on to the debate over ACA subsidies. Very curious to hear what Donald Trump has to say about that in the coming days and weeks. We'll keep an eye on all of the details right here on the Nick Craig Show. I do want to remind you that if you are interested in supporting the show financially, if you believe that you are getting some value, whether you listen live weekday morning, 7 o'clock, or after the fact via podcast, you can get access to a daily show notes and more by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig, as little as $5 or $10 a month, and you can support the show financially. Can't thank all of our supporters enough for all of their great support and their continued support here of the Nick Craig Show. Also want to thank Melissa Gott and her amazing team over at the Law Group here in Wilmington for their support as well. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a Monday edition. We'll keep an eye on Washington, D.C., and have the latest coming up for you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back here tomorrow morning with the Nick Craig Show.